many people in diaspora come when it's time to vote, and they come and vote. They come when it's time to register. They come to vote. You may say it's some cost to them, but it's also cost to me to travel from Accra to North Dine to register and go back and vote on voting day. So no, you see, let's put all these things in perspective. I agree that at a point when we have gotten it right, we may extend these things. And I hear the argument as I read around and listen around that we send you money and we spend the most money, and that is not an excuse for us to just expend people's taxes also. Don't forget that elections are funded from the consolidated fund. And I'm saying that, should we be doing that at the expense of our education? Should we be doing that at the expense of our health? Look at our road network system. Are you proud of it? We should be, anybody who feels strongly, yes, and I agree with my, when he says that, yes, it's a passionate, but if you are passionate about electing your leader, come down and register and vote. For now, until such a time that the EC thinks that we are there and that we, political parties, can go and send agents to various polling stations abroad to go and monitor registration at a cost. Who is going to bear that cost? If the political parties can't bear them, then you disadvantage them. So let's get the things right before we even jump into it. That is why I am happy one way, when he also talks about the fact that let's look at the whole picture. But nobody should railroad the EC into implementing ROPAR and lead this country into confusion. That is all that we are saying.
Well, you think that will create confusion?
Of course.
For his part, Director Diaspora Affairs Office of the President, Akwesi Abibio, called on government to look beyond the financial aspect of RUPAL and implement the law, because those in the diaspora also have the right to vote.
Ghana is a country of flaws. Whatever is flawed, you go to court and you establish it and you make sure that it cannot be done. Just as we are looking to see that, you know, things can be done by going to court. And we've done that successfully over the past. We know that there's never going to be that, you know, perfect system that you have to create first, that utopian whatever empire, before you start giving certain rights. You have to do it, and as you are trying to do it, the problems that come about, you go about solving them. You're not going to sit down and put in measures and use the expense issue to say, therefore we cannot do this, therefore we cannot do this. If it is expensive, let me tell you what is also expensive. It is very expensive to even send our sportsmen to the World Cup, to the Olympic Games. But we do send our teams to Olympic Games. We do send our teams to do all sorts of things. It's a matter of looking at what individual rights is being infringed on. And that is what the people who live outside are complaining about. The law has been passed. Sitting there, if there was anything that was wrong with it, the opportunity was there to be amended. And it hasn't been amended up to all this time. It looks obvious to me that the most conjured point that seems to be coming from time to time is the fact that there is no money, there are no resources. So what do? We resource them. It's being done in less endowed countries. So why not Ghana?
Ahead, the Department of Urban and Environmental Management, Institute of Local Government Studies, Frederick Ojakundro, called for effective collaboration between all stakeholders to ensure a transparent and open process.
I agree there is cost involved, but who says democracy is not expensive? We do have our priorities. We need to prioritize certain things. You see, election is very emotive issue. Supposing I'm here in Ghana and there's an election and a single individual, I'm deprived of the right to vote. I can raise mayhem just because personally. That is why we need to look at the whole issue again. But then fundamentally, there are issues. Indeed, the cost factor is a major issue because per capita cost for those in Ghana will definitely not be the same as those from abroad. So we need to look at that. But then I think fundamentally, we need to build a point of divergence as a country. We need consensus on some of these things. Because underneath all these things is a deep mistrust. You see, in our politics, whenever one party is not in power, there's a mistrust of the system. We all had issues raised by the MPP. I mean, even going back to the beginning of ROPAR, NDC expressed a deep sense of mistrust because how is the system going to be done? But for me, there's already a system in place for some category of Ghanaians. How can we build upon that system to make it workable for a lot more Ghanaians? But we need to work together as a team. We need to make the system open, transparent, so that every participant in the process can trust that indeed this is not going to come to play in the favor of a particular political grouping or the other.
Those were views of panelists on GBC's current affairs program, Talking Point, which discussed the implementation of ROPO and inherent drawbacks.